There is one verse that I go to every week. Every week. It's John 16, 13 and 14. Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he will guide you into full and complete truth." That's one of his purposes. He will not speak on his own. So we don't have to question whether he's repeating the words of Jesus or has his own agenda. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. When you get a new baby in your life, you just don't go, "Praise God," and send them on. They need guidance. They need protection. They need encouragement. And that's exactly what the Spirit of God does in each one of our lives. It draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, brings their attention." I thank God for an older lady by the name of Adelie Nichols, who woke Jesus up in my life one day. And he says, "I will raise him up on the last day." In John 16:8, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin." You did not come to Jesus because it was your idea. You were drawn to him. That you had that sin, and you didn't even know what the word was. But you knew that there was something wrong in your life that needed to be taken care of. But he was going to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit that seals us on the day of salvation. When he comes into our lives, he actually is God placing his mark of ownership upon us. It empowers and equips the believers to accomplish the work of God that he has graced us with. But to me, the most important work of the life of a believer is that he guides us into a fuller and more complete understanding of Jesus. A fuller, more complete understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. We can read scripture all up, we can memorize the whole thing, but if it was not for the Spirit of God who brought illumination and understanding to us, we would just have a lot of knowledge within us. In other words, he leads us on the path of spiritual maturity by allowing us to perceive and understand the glory of Jesus Christ. So many Christians start at salvation, but they never follow the direction of the Spirit of God to grow, and so thus they do not understand the glory of who Jesus is. And sometimes they will see, what are they crying for in church? I mean, good work, but what's the big deal? Folks, it is the glory of God that brings understanding and fulfillment in our lives. We are not saved to simply soak and take up a pew place. Sorry. And just wait for the second coming. We are here to grow in understanding of who Jesus is and do the work that God has given us to do. We are saved to walk the same spiritual path that all people we admire in Scripture. They've had to learn to walk it. There is not a perfect person in Scripture except the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of them was faulty, and they had to learn that. Abraham, Moses, David, the disciples, you read their story. They did not pick up on Jesus until he resurrected, okay? They were still had questions and wanting to know who's going to sit in the right and left, the Apostle Paul, as John said. They had to learn who Jesus was. And we're going to see this as an example in the life of a lady by the name of Mary. I mentioned three times in Scripture. She's the sister of Lazarus this morning. And we're going to follow her progression as we're going to see how she matures in her faith. We all begin our spiritual path at the same location, folks, at the feet of Jesus. There's no great Christian until they've been at the feet of Jesus. Let me say it that way. Luke chapter 10. We're going to be several places today. Luke chapter 10. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him." So this was Martha's home. I'm not sure how she got it, but it was hers, okay? "She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care? care my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Tell her to help me. Folks, there's not been a person one in leadership of church that I've said the same thing. Don't you see all the things on my plate? And would you just call somebody that's obedient? Number one, I want you to notice that Martha is distracted. Jesus is teaching. Where's Mary? At his feet. That was so unusual because normally she would have been driven away by the rabbi. That was just for men. But Jesus lets her get close. He looks at her in verse 41, Martha, Martha. And when he says this twice, it's an example of the Aramaic and Hebrew word going, listen to me, I care for you so much. Listen to me. You are worried and upset about many things. Can you see her going, yes, yes. You see all these men here, and there's all these preparations, and who's going to do it? Jesus said, but few things are needed. And indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken. As she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to her. See, absolute truth is found in only one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't care what you read in Facebook or on magazines or whatever. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. And the easiest way to learn and absorb his truth is listening intently at his feet. She was not distracted. She really didn't care what Martha said. Simply, okay? Just look at it that way. At his feet, a place of submission. She did not demand a seat at the table. She did not demand that he turn and look at her. Just a place of submission. Seated, lowly. A place of closeness. She could hear his words. Resonating in her heart and in her soul. It was a place of honor. It was an honor to sit at the feet of the king and listen to his wisdom. But here she's sitting at the king, the feet of the king of eternity, listening to his wisdom. Now, Mary doesn't have all the facts about Jesus, but she knows if there is any hope in her life, it is Jesus and learning all she can from him. It's much like the thief on the cross. Two thieves were crucified with Jesus, one on the left, one on the right. When they started out, they were both hurling accusations. Jesus, if you're really Jesus, come down. Prove it. And while you're at it, take us with you. But somewhere along the way, one of the thieves looked at Jesus and said this in Luke 23. Jesus, remember me when you come to the kingdom. That's all he knew. That's all he knew. Jesus said, should have been better. Should have listened to me the first time. Got no place for somebody like you in my kingdom. Is that what he said? Truly I tell you, or most sure, today you will be with me. That's what Mary was at. She was listening, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha, like many of us today, are distracted with all the preparation. We've got all these things going on in her life. And folks, we are busy, aren't we? So busy that at times you're looking for a place to breathe. And that's what Martha was. She was just distracted like you can't believe. Was she listening to Jesus? Sort of. Every time she came into the room with something to put down, yes, she was hearing it. But was she really listening to him? Was she in a place of submission? No, because she came to him and she tells her to help him. No, she was not in a place of submission, was she? Did she care what Jesus was speaking about? No. She had preparation to do. Is your life so busy that you have no room for Jesus? But Randy, I'm saved. That was not my question. Are you so busy that there is no room for Jesus to be in your room? Was Martha in a good mindset? No. No, that's an easy one to answer. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her! She was so convinced that Jesus was going to be on his side, she approached him. In almost a place of authority. Martha, Martha, Jesus said. Can you hear him say that? He's not mad at her because her mindset's wrong. He's not mad at her because she's distracted. Martha, Martha, Just stop. Stop for just a second. Mary has chosen what is better. Not what you're doing is wrong, Martha, but she's chosen what is better. And I'm not going to take that from her. I want her to hear my words. I like the way that Nancy Wolger, whatever her name is, paraphrased it. Your company means more to me than your company. You're more important to me than anything you would do for me. We see Mary beginning to grow spiritually in understanding. Does she have it all figured out? No. But she is sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in all his words that we have in Scripture today. We can do the same thing. When we gather His Word and we start reading it, not as a novel, what do you have to say to me this morning? What am I supposed to think about as the day goes on? What do I need to adjust in my life? How do we sit at the feet of Jesus today? 2 Timothy 2:15. Work hard so that God can say to you, well done. Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Know what His Word says and means. Be in His Word. Be in His worship. Be in His work. And as you're going through life, you will be amazed at the maturity level He will bring you. The Apostle Paul tells us that many get stuck at the feet of Jesus. They don't progress on. And he says, he told them in Hebrews, you should be eating steaks, but you're still on milk. Wow. They never started to make spiritual decisions using the truth shown to us while sitting at the feet of Jesus. They don't know who they are and the joys that they have. We cease to grow up on our spiritual path of righteousness. Well, that's not Mary. We're going to see her again. Maturing spiritual faith must be tested to show true. Your faith must be tested. And yes, sometimes that testing is difficult. And it's too much for us at times. But it will be tested. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Even Jesus was tested. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested or tempted by the devil. He was shown to be authentic. Through his testing, he needed to be demonstrated as authentic. James chapter 1, 22, 2 through 4, or 1, 20, that one. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Anybody have trouble with that? Yeah? Okay. We're all here together. Brothers and sisters, we think alike, different maturity levels and so forth. But we have troubles with that one. He says, because. Here's the reason behind it. You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, steadfastness in the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, let perseverance finish its work. Don't work too hard to get out of it. Now God will bring it out when it's time, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Your faith must be tested. Mary's brother, was sick unto death, it tells us. He was dying. Jesus was very good friends with his family. Every time he came into the area, this is probably where he stayed. So he loved his family. Loved it. In John chapter 11, we find the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one who loved is sick. Their assumption, he go come quick. Jesus loves us, so he's going to come quick. We know that he can heal him. Jesus, in verse 6, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. What? He didn't go. He waited. He waited until Lazarus died and was in the grave 4 days. Well, that doesn't sound like he loves us very much. This makes no sense. Can you see the sisters? I thought he loved us. I thought he would do great things in our life. But look where we're at. Lazarus is dead. So Jesus did go. On the arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He'd been there so long that when he said, remove the stone, Martha goes, Lord, he stinks by now. I don't think that's a good idea. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus saw him, what did she do? She fell at his feet. The feet of understanding. The feet of love and acceptance. And said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't think this was an accusation. This was a statement, a fact that she goes, man, I wish you were made. I know that you had the power and authority to heal me. I know that. Man, I wish you had been here. Hear Jesus say to him, do you trust me in my delay? Do you trust me? I delayed on purpose. Do you trust me? When I didn't seem to care. When it didn't seem important to me. Do you trust me? Do you still trust my love for you, Martha and Lazarus? Do you trust me, Mary? Martha said this. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come to earth. Their theology was perfect. Perfect. I believe and I know for a fact that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I know that. Others around them said, could not he who opened the eyes of blind have kept this man from dying? Accusations. And as you're going, as your faith is being tested, folks, there's going to be some come into your life and give you that Jesus doesn't care. Or you must have done some grave sin, because we know that God always blesses those who are perfect. There are no perfect. So no, there's some grave. Just like Job. Job, would you just confess your sins and all this trouble will go away? And Job would go on, I would if I knew what I did. But I don't. Mary came, and Jesus saw her sobbing. And the Jews who had come with her sobbing. Look at this. He was deeply moved in the spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death, and he was troubled. Don't tell me that Jesus doesn't understand your sorrow. He is ticked at sin, is what that means. The result of that. Because it didn't have to be that way. So in verse 43 and 44, he said, take it to the tomb. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave cloths, let him go. They no longer hold him, folks. That's a sign, that's an image of salvation. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We come out of the tomb of death, our grave clothes still on us. Release him. They no longer apply. Even if Jesus had left Lazarus in the grave, I should say, the faith of Martha and Mary would have remained strong. They knew who Jesus was. James 1, once again, the testing of your faith produces perseverance, steadfastness. Hang on. It has purpose and it has meaning. There is no such thing as wasted time in the life of a Christian. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we found Mary at the feet of Jesus twice. Once listening to him. Once sharing with him the agony of the death of her brother. We find her one more. See, the road to spiritual maturity leads to passion for the person of the Lord Jesus. Passion, a strong and very barely controllable emotion, an intense desire or enthusiasm for something. It leads to a passion. King David's passion for God defined him as a man after God's own heart. He was marked by relentless pursuit of God's presence, heartfelt worship, and deep repentance. He was a deeply flawed man, but he understood the purpose of God. David's ultimate goal was to dwell in the house of the Lord and seek him daily, viewing God's presence as better than life itself. John chapter 12, starting verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, that's 5 days before the crucifixion. Get the time frame in your mind. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given to Jesus as an honor. Martha served. Notice, no complaint here. Martha's learned, okay? No complaint. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. This perfume was used in the temple for worship as prayer is rising up to God. Some things about pure nard. It was worth about half a year's earnings. It was not cheap, guys. It was more costly than gold back then. Mostly used to cover the smell of death. She probably had this for her own funeral. But it was also used by royalty to announce the coming of a new king into the throne. A new king would be in his chambers, and they would anoint his feet, sometimes his head, with oil. And that way, when he walked through the into his throne room, everyone knows he's coming. This stuff would stink. I'm telling you, it filled this whole room. And if you're allergic to any kind of perfume, it would catch you. Okay, you know, and everybody would know the king is coming. The king is coming because I smell his anointing. It's a very strong smell. It's an oily substance. And it could last, look at this, it could last strong for over a week. Okay, with me? It could last strong for a week. We're not specifically told why Mary did this, but we can see her heart and what Jesus said about it. She did not do this because Jesus raised her brother. She knew that he would die in him. She was overcome with passion and desire to show Jesus what he meant.
Amen.
And Jesus gives us a clue. He says, let her alone. She did it in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor, but I won't be with you very long. Jesus said, she's anointed me for my burial. Mary may have been one of the few who actually listened to the words of Jesus when he said he was going to Jerusalem to die and rise again. She may have been one of the few. And everywhere Jesus went the next few days, folks, that pure nard would remind him of Mary's devotion. It was, and his purpose for coming. People would know that somebody has anointed him like a king. We find in John 12, 27, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this very reason I have come this hour. Father, and Jesus was struggling, your God, knowing the cross was ahead. He was struggling. Father, glorify your God. I'm going to walk this, but glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Mary didn't care what the world thought of her wasting her pure nard. We find that same instance. After she had done that, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later betraying him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bags, he used to help himself to what was put in. See, so often we're more concerned about what others will think or say than what is important. She anointed his, prepared Jesus for his burial. Once again, Nancy's words, your company means more to me than your cooking. You're more important to me than anything you can do for me. So spend time with Jesus this week. Understand, that nard would have lasted 7 days. And in that 7 days, Jesus would have been reminded of what was ahead, of what was to be accomplished. When he was being beaten, he probably could have smelled his pain and understood. Mary did a great thing at the feet of Jesus. In a few weeks, we will be coming and we will be celebrating the Resurrection Day. Folks, you have no Resurrection Day without a Crucifixion Day. And we must understand the great debt that Jesus took upon himself when he died for my sins. Having carried those sins to the cross, my rebellion he took to the cross, and he bore it so that the Heavenly Father would have a justified reason to forgive me of my sins because of my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you begin preparing yourself that we may worship him, but I encourage you to spend time at the feet of Jesus in submission, in learning, in understanding, and allowing the Spirit of God to make him not just your Savior, but someone great in your life and your world. Father, I thank you for the example of Mary this morning. Lord, how we can trace her discipleship, her spiritual mourning through the feet of Jesus. Every time we found her, she was at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him, serving him, learning from him, when most of us would kind of ignore him. I pray your Spirit now that you speak to our hearts as only you can, using the feeble words that I tried this morning, that you may impress upon each one here the glorious person of Jesus Christ. How you have placed within us your Holy Spirit to lead us to understand more of who he is and who we are in him. And that you will lead us on the path of spiritual maturity. Don't let us get sidetracked. Don't let the preparations of this world cause us to just set you aside for a while. Father, if we've been hurt, whether it's by an individual, whether it's by a church, whether it's by our own decisions, may we see like Martha, love and grief. Come spend some time with me. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. We give you the praise for your glory alone. Amen.